You have to cope with life. There's no way around it. And anybody coming to you telling you, oh, what's wrong? You don't feel good today? Is not doing God's work. Now, this is not to say you have no problems, be tough. This is to say you got problems. And the only way to fight them is head on with the Lord. There's just no other way. If there were, I would find a bottle, put it in it, and sell it to everybody.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Today, Pastor Rick shares that when it comes to the difficulties of life, you're going to have to put on your gloves and fight. He says you have to learn how to cope with difficulty. There's just no way around it. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You don't have to be afraid to step into the ring when Christ is in your corner. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 8, with today's study.
When a lion goes for a kill, he's not looking for the tail of the animal. Ooh, if I could just grab his tail. Well, maybe to take him down. He's after the throat. He wants to kill it. That's what Satan does. Jesus said the seed that fell on the soil, that's the seed that took root. And so Satan knows that, and he goes against the word of God with question, with doubt, just as he did in Eden. What did he say to Eve? Did God really say? Was that his word? Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning. Sorry, that was on purpose. It's like, huh? What was that? Anyhow, it's just, you know, your disdain for this whole thing with Satan. But the day is going to come where he's cast into the abyss. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That day is going to come. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Satan speaking, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? You see, that doubt. So why is he trying to do this with Jesus Christ? Well, he's not 100% sure of just how all this is going to play out with who this is in front of him. But he's not creative. He does not have to be. The simple things that worked before work now. Whatever worked on Eve, he's going to do towards you too. That's why these lessons are here. That's why Luke is telling us about the temptation of Jesus Christ, because he's saying Satan's going to tempt you the same way and you're not as strong as him. But he will never leave you nor forsake you. And so the devil's ifs, they strike at faith. And that faith is what binds us. It's that it causes that union between sinners and God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to benefit from what Jesus did for us on the cross. He died for sinners, for every single one of them. Jesus Christ did not die for good people. He couldn't find any. He died for sinners. In verse 4, he went on to say, Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Selfdom, that's the kingdom Satan wants you to rule over. And you really won't be ruling that one either. Selfdom, fame and fortune brings force, brings power. If I'm known by everybody and respected and adored, if I've got, you know, a rock star status and rock star money and power to do things on top of all that, that's what he hit Jesus with. And now we resume where the Lord answered this temptation of selfdom, the flesh. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. That get thee behind me is like get out of my face is basically, it really is what it is. I'm getting past you by pushing you out of the way. But the Lord does not ignore Satan's words because he is the Lord. And this is a teachable moment for us. We ignore them. Even Michael, the archangel, did not bother arguing with Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, again, we read in Revelation, Michael being one of the archangels. I mean, what kind of power belongs to him amongst created beings? In Revelation, one of the angels will come and snatch Satan and throw him in a jail. So Michael's got the power, but he held it back. It wasn't his place. The Lord will deal with Satan. Too often, we overlook what God clearly calls us to address. And one way we know it's God is because it keeps nagging. Well, God doesn't nag, but the point that we're not doing what we're supposed to do keeps, gnawing at us. God tells you to do something and you don't do it. Sometimes he just says, fine, go get someone else. And then you find out about it, and that's a rebuke. That's a chastisement. The next time he says, I want you to do something, maybe you get up and do it right away without delay. But then there are other times where God clearly has us to do something and we overlook it because it's not pleasant to us, because we're not trusting him. If you trust him, you say, well, that whole pleasant thing's in his hands. I know what I'm supposed to do, and that is pleasant. To obey the Lord is pleasant. And there's an authority with that. It takes away debating. It takes away discussion. It's let's get this done. And so one of the lessons from this is Jesus answered. In other words, he wasn't going to overlook. And to a lesser degree, there are things that come our way that are not to be overlooked. And said to him, get behind me, Satan. Now, he says this also at the time that Peter, you can tell Peter if you looked at him because his foot was the same shape as his mouth. Thank God for Simon Peter. There's so much scripture we would not have if it weren't for Peter's questions. He asked things and Jesus answered him. Even this rebuke of the Lord, looking beyond Peter, saying to Satan, get behind me. You see, Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. There's no way around this. I am going to bleed, suffer, and die for sinners. Satan is trying to stop that from happening. Peter can't understand this. His Messiah, again, they never saw Jesus fail. What's this talk about being killed? And so Peter thinks he knows better at that moment. Have you? You've come across that with your children. All of a sudden, they're grown and they know everything. Or maybe it's an insubordinate apprentice that actually knows nothing about what they're, but they're going to argue with you. Well, that's where Peter was. And the Lord went beyond Peter's folly and dealt with Satan. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, which is to say to Peter, you're Satan. If I was one of the other apostles, man, he called you Satan. Phew, man, you need to go home. Go home. Don't do anything. Don't look at me. Don't. This is powerful. There's some humor in it now, all these years removed, but at the time it was happening, the faces on everybody. Oh, man, for a Polaroid of that. He says, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. So whenever you or I become mindful about things of creation with God on the outside, we're doing just what Jesus said. Offends him. It is what Satan does. And that's where it comes from. James will write, this wisdom does not come from above. The self-seeking and all this, it is demonic, he says. It doesn't have to have horns and a tail. It does not have to have insanity or overt insanity, because to go against God is insane. It can be very subtle, very educated, very refined and sophisticated. But it's against God. It is an offense if he is counted out or if he's counted less than first. with no peril, no close second. It's not God plus, which is what Satan's after. Now, Jesus, he said a good deal about the adversary, the devil, the dragon of old, Satan. He said that he had a kingdom in Matthew chapter 12. Satan's got a kingdom. He's got power. He has force. Called him an enemy in Matthew 13. Never forget that. It's easy to do when you think of the devil as the devil. It's difficult when you begin to make space for his servants. And we shouldn't do that. He called him the wicked one in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13 and in John 8, he said that wicked men are his sons. In Matthew 13 again, he said that Satan snatches scripture from hearers. In Matthew 13 again, he said that Satan plants weeds amongst the fruit. He said Satan has angels in Matthew 25. He has messengers. He has little flunkies. He has people. That's part of his kingdom. He has them in the spiritual realm. He has them in the physical realm. Who are they in the physical realm? The sons of the wicked one. He's got family, too. We'll get to that in a moment. He said that the eternal fire was prepared for him in Matthew 25. Hell was created for Satan, not for human beings. But if you insist on behaving like Satan and rejecting God for who he is, then you will go to the same place. Jesus said he saw him fall from heaven like lightning. Boom, like that. Just like that, he's gone. That's in Luke chapter 10. In Luke 13, he said Satan bound a woman for 18 years. Satan's work. In Luke 22, he said Satan had asked for Peter to sift him, to ruin him, to destroy him. In John 8, Jesus called Satan a killer, a murderer. We have a whole religion of homicidal maniacs called ISIS. It's a bloodthirst. It is satanic, and there's no two ways about it. There's nothing redeeming about it. It is proof to any sane person that Satan exists. But the world is insane with their rejection of Jesus Christ. As Isaiah said, because they've rejected the word of God, what wisdom do they have? Tell me, what can you possibly have that's wise after that? In John 8, he not only called Satan a liar, he said he was the father of lies. And then in John 12 and John 14, he said he is the prince of this world. What does that mean? It means that the world system of rejection, of rejecting Christ, that system, that line of thinking, that mentality, comes from hell. It's demonic. It comes from Satan. If you lose sight of these things, why should we worry about anything? Where's the sense of urgency now? Because after all, there's no devil. Therefore, there's no consequence. There's nothing evil. It'll all work out, or some other harebrained line of irrationale. Satan is real. We're not to walk around terrified of him. Certainly, we respect the authority he has been given as the prince of this world, and we don't mess with that. But when it comes to preaching the truth, when it comes to preaching the gospel, Satan has no say-so. He can issue no gag order against us unless we surrender. And so Jesus says, for it is written, again, this has already been dealt with by God, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. No evaluation of the offer, no cross analysis, no pie chart, no consulting experts, no considering it. It's wrong from the beginning and not given a second more consideration as being something that is from God. I say it like that because Eve did not do that, and many people today don't do this. They really think Satan, look, all of psychology, they think Satan's got something to say. Every shooter that we've been, since Columbine, what is one thing they have in common is that they are under the care of a psychiatrist or psychologist. And that they're being pumped full of things that God never meant men to be pumped full of. I don't know that there's been a single time, I'm sure there has, that I've preached on this and at the end of the service somebody comes here and tries to convert me to them. Don't bother. It's a lie. They're telling you it's science, but it's religion that pretends to be science and is not. They get a pass in the medical world to the detriment of all their victims. What did people do before them? Let me tell you a little something about life. You see the authority here. You gotta cope with it. Everyone does. From the cradle to the grave. There's no exception. You have to fight in this life. You either make it worth something or not, but you're gonna fight. You have no choice. Growing up, I used to attend some of these crazy karate schools. I mean, they were fist fights. You were going to fight. There was no way around it. You get nauseous knowing this. The elementary schools, the junior high schools, the high schools I attended in New York City, victims of the policies of insanity. You're going to fight. Well, life is no different. And once we begin to think that I don't have to cope, we look for an escape hatch. But you still have to deal with it. There's no getting away from it. So God says, I'm going to give you the church. And I'm going to give you shepherds. And they're going to preach to you. And they're going to arm you and fit you to fight, to cope with these things that you don't want to cope with. And guess what? They have to also. They get no pass here. They got to deal with it. You got a stupid kid? They can have a stupid kid. You got blasphemous parents? They can have blasphemous parents. You have a bad day at the office? They have a bad day at the pulpit. They're right there with you. You have to cope with life. There's no way around it. And anybody coming to you telling you, oh, what's wrong? You don't feel good today? Is not doing God's work. Now, this is not to say you have no problems, be tough. This is to say, you got problems. And the only way to fight them is head on with the Lord. There's just no other way. If there were, I would find a bottle, put it in it, and sell it to everybody. All these books about marriage and marriage and marriage, none of them work. If they did, we'd only need one. We'd get it, read it, had no more problems. Why is this guy writing another book if the other one was so good? God's word is saying, listen, you're going to have to fight. My word is true. It's not magic. It's not a wand you wave in front of a hurricane and stop it. It's not something you hit Satan in the head with and he drops dead. It is ammunition to fight. And so that when you've squeezed through that narrow gate, when you have fought your way through it. Some of you have been in construction, maybe a plumber or electrician. You've got to squeeze into certain places. It's very uncomfortable. Stuff dripping on you, falling on you, biting you, dirtying you up. You got the point. I enjoy the point. I enjoy saying to the world, you got nothing to give me when it comes to how I behave. You have nothing. God has it all. His word is wise. His word is sufficient. And all these pastors out there preaching to you, God's word is also wonderful. It's sufficient for life. It is so this. Now, you need to go get yourself some counseling, get your problems fixed. The chancellaria ought to open up and swallow them in the pulpit and the congregation who endures that kind of stuff up. But, of course, I don't get to call the shots. It is anathema to tell people how beautiful God is and how impotent his word is. So you say, okay, I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to fight. And then you get your clock clean. So that doesn't mean God's word's not true. It means get back up and get in the fight again. You'll be stronger or Oh, what's the whole armor? You know, we'll put the little kitties in the armor of the Christian. I just don't want any of the armor. What does the armor speak to you about? Standing in front of the enemy and coping with life. No rear protection. Do you ever notice that? Most of you have been around Christianity, you know that. You know that the Roman armor had no protection for those who turned and ran. Neither does the Bible. If you turn and you forsake the Lord, what is he supposed to do? And so be encouraged. This is not, you say, but I am weak. I am one of those who turns and run. Listen, set your compass. Set your course to the Lord. He'll make up the difference. Stick with him. You may not be as strong as some other Christian, but when it's all over, you will be stronger than what you were. It will be better for you. And if the world has got something better, then what are we doing here? Let's go follow them. I get upset because I was going to hell over this stuff, over churches preaching junk or not preaching anything, of pointing us to the world, of impressing, of being so impressed with the world, asking their permission to be, oh, please tell us about creation. Tell us how we came from chimps and baboons. And there are churches that try to bake that in. Well, you know, God, you know, he did not. He created Adam out of dirt, just like you. And we're supposed to be, what? I'm okay. Yeah, I'm a little bothered by it. I'm not bothered by it. I'm greatly disturbed by it. All right. This is why we don't keep cans of spinach in the pulpit. He started flipping over pews. The people were okay. Verse 9, then he brought him to Jerusalem. He brought him to church, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. So Jerusalem's not off limits. And so why would we think there's any place that he thinks is sacred? It's sacrilegious is what Satan is. You come to church, he ramps it up. And this is the one that has rejected the Godhead. In the New Jerusalem, there will be none of this. Revelation 21, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name's in that book. It's going to stay there. And my life is to get those who don't have their name written in the book, to get it written in the book. But I don't know how to do that. I can't go up to my neighbors and say, the end comes, this comes. You know, I can't find a way to reach them except to commit my own life to Christ and follow his orders. And when he sends me somewhere, something happens. And that's all I need to know. That's all I need to do is follow the Lord. Now, Jerusalem. He takes them to Jerusalem. Jerusalem presumes crowds. I mean, it's, you know, it's just bustling with people and activity. It's a, well, we'll move on and I'll bring these things out, hopefully. He set him on the pinnacle of the temple. This is true warfare because they're not, you know, if you had looked up and said, hey, look, there's Satan and a rabbi from Nazareth, you would not have seen this. This is spiritual warfare, truly spiritual. Josephus tells us about the temple. So it tells us a bunch of things about the temple in Jerusalem. It wasn't the highest point on the footprint of the Temple Mount at this time. The fortress, the Antonio Fortress, was higher. But this is the pinnacle of the temple. And it was all gold, big blocks of gold on the roof. So from a distance, a traveler would look at Jerusalem on a sunny day, and it would look like Mount Hermon, snow-capped. It would just be beautiful. And as he got closer, he couldn't look because the glare from the sun was so intense. But they put spikes on the roof to keep the birds from polluting it. And that's just an interesting little side note that Josephus tells us, is insight into. Now, of course, the EPA came along and said, you can't do that. The birds have to defile anything human beings like. But anyway, I just... it was something, I don't remember what it is. But it was some new hoax that they got going on to get you to stop having fun. And anyway, and this is what Satan said to him. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. So again with the, if you are the Son of God, didn't you ask me, didn't you say that? What are you repeating yourself? I heard you the first time.
You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As we mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, today's teaching is available free of charge at our website. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing ensures that you stay current with all the latest teachings from Pastor Rick. You can subscribe at crossreferenceradio.com or simply search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. Join us next time as Pastor Rick continues teaching through the Gospel of Luke, right here on Cross Reference Radio.